Jalaxico might have continued its slumber forever, with a slowly declining population, except the most recent wormhole shift had given the Ruhar easy access. The Ruhar needed certain rare metals, especially palladium, lanthanum, and yttrium, to make their jump drives function properly. The clan that owned Jalaxico actually had no official presence there, and the 7,000 Kristang of various squabbling subclans did not like being sold out by their leaders. Accordingly, the Ruhar had assigned the Alien Legion to handle the task of kicking the lizards off the planet. It was a test, with the Legion force under the command of Emily Perkins. She had one understrength battalion of 650 humans and 80 Vertkris, plus two transport ships and one destroyer. She wasn't happy with the force structure, and she also knew the hamsters didn't care. If the Legion could not manage the evacuation of 7,000 lizards who were living in isolated villages, then the whole concept of the Alien Legion needed to be reviewed. The evac had gone well for the first 8 days, with most of the warrior cast and almost all of the civilians happy to get off the frozen ball of mud they called home. Then Irene and Derek approached a village early that morning, and the local leader had a message for the platoon leader. They knew it was trouble immediately, though Major Chan had been trying to handle the problem on her own. Derek and Irene knew that Perkins would want to know what was going on, so they only felt mildly uncomfortable about going behind Chan's back. Sometimes officers had to be protected from themselves. Instead of calling Emily Perkins directly, Irene sent a request up to the destroyer Wild Chida, a Ruhar vessel the humans referred to as the Wild Child. After a brief back and forth with the destroyer's communications department and then the ship's executive officer, Irene was connected to Perkins. "Ma'am," Irene took a breath before continuing, "we have a problem." Emily Perkins's own morning had been rather splendid, a fact that had her anticipating bad news. She had slept well, considering that only 4 hours elapsed between closing her eyes and swinging her legs onto the deck when the alarm woke her. The coffee, made from beans the Ruhar grew in a lab, was hot and delicious. Breakfast had been biscuits and gravy that tasted, if not like her mother used to make, as good as any diner in her hometown. The destroyer's crew had greeted her cheerily while they ate whatever food hamsters ate for breakfast. When she arrived in the Wild Child's Combat Operations Center, the overnight status reports had all been positive. Objectives secured, no casualties on either side, the overall plan was proceeding 2 hours ahead of schedule. The relentless good news had her on edge when Irene called.
"Strebik, are you going to ruin my day?"
"No, ma'am."
"Excellent. That is good.
I think the lizards have done that all by themselves," Irene explained.
Perkins lowered her voice, a gesture that had no practical value. The ship's Ruhar crew had excellent hearing, and the flight data recorder could pick up the softest whisper.
"Why am I not hearing this from Major Chan?"
There was the slightest hesitation before Irene responded.
"She is trying to contain the situation." "Is she going to succeed?"
"No," Irene conceded.
Perkins suppressed a groan. There were two options when a problem was encountered. Try to take care of it yourself without adding to the burden of your superior officer, or notify your superior right away, hopefully with a plan to deal with the situation. Chan was taking the first option, figuring she could resolve the issue without Perkins needing to become involved. Choosing option one was walking a fine line. If the situation got significantly worse before the information inevitably did go up the chain of command, then Chan's choice of the do-it-yourself option could backfire on her. Perkins typically got pissed when her subordinates tried to hide bad news from her, but she had learned that she needed to balance the need for information with the need to trust her people in the field. There was a status call with Chan scheduled in 2 hours, so she could wait until then. She might have waited, except the Ruhar were closely monitoring all communications, and they were looking for any sign that the human expeditionary force could not handle the mission.
"I'll contact Chan. Give me a quick summary of the problem,"
Irene told her. Perkins swore, and didn't care that the Ruhar and the destroyer's combat operations center all looked at her with interest.
"Okay, Strebik, hold where you are.